We're going to be in John chapter 15, John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, some passages that hopefully are really familiar. But here's the big idea. Connection is life. Disconnection is death. We see this principle pretty clearly in some environments like this. I cut this off. We have a grape plant. What is it called? Anyways, grape in our backyard. I cut this off about 6 o'clock this morning. And when I first cut it off, it looked like it was, you wouldn't know that something was wrong. Just like a cut flower, you put it in a vase, and for several days it looks fine, but then pretty soon, in this case just within about 4 hours, it starts to wilt. We know that with our cell phones. You charge them up, and they work for several hours. Maybe if you're lucky, you got a brand new one a day or two. But pretty soon, connection is life. Disconnection is death. And there is nothing more life-changing than our connection with Jesus. So let's read through John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And I want to look at it from a couple of different angles. So John chapter 15, hopefully some very familiar words. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." Reminded that when the uses the illustration of vine, I mean, there's vineyards all over Israel, and so of course that's going to be really common. But the idea of Israel itself being a vineyard, it shows up in Psalm 80 and Isaiah 5 and in Isaiah 27 and Ezekiel 15. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes," or the word there is also the same word as the word cleans. "He cleans it, he prunes it, so that it will be even more fruitful." Who here likes getting pruned? Yeah, me neither. "But you," he says to his disciples, "you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers." Such branches are picked up, they're thrown into the yard waste bin, and every other Tuesday they come by and pick it up. No, it's not quite. They throw it into the fire and burn. You get rid of it. "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Nothing is more life-changing than connection with Jesus. For many of us, we can point to times in our life where we first made that connection and we realized that God was real, that Jesus died on the cross for us, and that he wanted to do something in our lives. And so I wanted you to hear actually one of those stories just from within the congregation. Actually, I was talking to Bob Tridle. And Bob, will you start making your way up? A few weeks back, and he was just saying, I got to share my testimony. I got to tell people about how I came to Christ. And so I wanted you to hear a little bit of his story. But even as you're hearing his story, I invite you to be just thinking about how you would share it. Like, you know, how you would share your, for lack of a better word, before and after story of what life was like before you met Jesus And what's happened since you have? Bob, let me have you move into the light here just a little bit. But tell us how, like, how did you, tell us how you met Jesus?
Well, it's really a process for me. Yeah. First of all, I want to welcome you back from your vacation.
Well, thanks. Well,
and I grew up in a house that was, well, we always, my dad made me go to church every Sunday. Well, I got so I hated going to church. I took every advantage I could think of to get out of it. And later on, my folks owned an orchard, and I hated working in the orchard. So at 18, I joined the service. I spent 4 years in the Navy. And when I got out, I met my wife, and that was God-ordained. I know it was. And
I'm going to have you take a step this way, that we'll get a little less radio interference. All right.
Okay.
Hopefully that'll stop all the little blasting. And,
to make a long story short, I eventually went into college, got a good degree in animal science, and when there was no job openings for a Bachelor of Science in Animal Science degree, so a classmate of mine heard about this ranch in Blanchard, Idaho. And so we went and we sharecropped out for a couple of years. And then the owner got divorced and we had to get out. So, well, when God closes one door, he always opens another one. And another smaller ranch came available and we took that. Well, the thing that really sticks in my mind is when I was 3 years old, my teacher, Miss Reed, read us a chapter out of a book after we came in from noon hour. She'd say, lay down your head, I'm going to read you a story. Well, the story was Walter Farley's book, The Black Stallion. Hmm. Well, I fell in love with Arabian horses then, and I eventually did get a black Arabian gelding. And one night, the dog was barking, and I went out to look at see what was happening. And I went around the side of the house, and there was a yard light, and it was shining on the corral, and the corral gate was open, and he was out on the road. Well, our place is about 75-100 feet from the highway, and so I run out on the road, and this horse's name was Kispa. And I hollered, Kispa, and he stopped. It was so black I could even hardly see my face, my hand.
So a black horse on a pitch black night.
In a black night.
Yeah, that's going to be difficult.
There was no moon, there was no stars, it was just dark. Anyway, I hollered, Kispa again, and I could hear him turning around. I hear his shoes on the pavement. So anyway, I hollered again, and I could hear him clip clop back towards me. And there I want to wait for a minute and quote, this is our devotional that we use, Jesus Calling. Well, last Monday, I came across this devotional. And I want to read part of it. It says, when you seek my faith in response to my love, call. Both of us are blessed. This is a deep mystery. And it was so dark that night that I didn't see him until he put his muzzle right up to my nose. And I put my arm around his neck and I walked him back in the corral, closed the gate. I no sooner turned around and this logging truck came down the highway. And to me, that's such a vision of salvation, because I could have been that horse. And hear Christ calling me, come back to him, mm-hmm. and safety in his arms. And but I kind of need to backlog here a little bit. When I graduated from college. I had no way of hauling worldly belongings to Blanchard. So I bought this old 46 Chevrolet truck, 2-ton truck, and put a, it was an old grain truck. It had been returned 3 times. The motor had been rebuilt, so it was a good sound truck. But so we loaded it up, went to Blanchard, pulled into a little town called Rathdrum in Idaho. It was in the middle of the night. We got it, pulled into this grill and got something to eat and went to Blanchard. Jumped in bed and got up the next morning. We were going to back the truck up closer to the house and it wouldn't move. And come to find out, all 5 bolts that hold that hub to the wheel were broken off or missing. And so that's a mystery to me how we even got there. But that's right where God wanted us at that time, I guess. we eventually, I think it was 1984, we bought some property and built a house on it. And at that time, I was still working in the mill, and the mill decided that they would have a railroad tie contract. And so I was working 5 days a week, 6 hours a day at night, and 2 12-hour shifts Saturday and Sunday. So I was working literally 7 days a week. And I got to the point that one day I just fell down on my knees and says, God, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. I know that you paid for my sins, and I repent of my sins, and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And it was harder going down, but it was so much easier coming back up. I felt like a ton of bricks had been lifted off my shoulders. And Jen came back from work, and she said, you look different. And I told her what I'd done, and she said, well, Pastor told me that he didn't think I was saved, and that devastated her. And the church has been praying for me salvation. Well, from then on, I first thing I said to her, I want to know more about Jesus. And so I had been, in fact, I had dreamed several months before that I was going back to school. And I told Jan, I said, why would I be going back to school? I don't want to go back to school. So anyway, that's the way it worked out. We went to Bible school at New Tribes Mission in Waukesha, Wisconsin. And I did get a part-time job. Well, it was almost full-time. We went to school in the morning. Jan and I would take a nap, and then I went to work at Elmbrick Church. Worked till about 1 in the morning. And then I'd come home, we'd study for a little bit for next day's class, and then go to bed. Yeah. But I'd worked 7 days a week for myself. Now I was working 7 days a week for the Lord, and it made a difference. And I enjoyed every bit of it.
So it sounds like God used a horse, used the hubcap.
Yeah.
That's right. And used you getting yourself to that point of exhaustion.
Yeah.
He had to get you to go, God, you're out there and I need your help.
That's right.
And mm-hmm. and he helped.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So if you could describe how your life is different because of meeting Jesus in a word or a phrase, what would you say? Like, if somebody says, hey, what difference does it make that I follow Jesus? What would you tell them?
Well, it makes a world of difference for sure. But I'm more at ease. I'm in love with Jesus, and I...
Like you said, at ease and at peace, and
yes,
and it changes how we view the world. I want you to see something. Who here can relate to some part of Bob's story? Like God met you through a circumstance or time you came to the end of your rope. Let's see some hands. Yeah. Mm. So see, that's how God often uses, and I don't know if we can get, put hands up and get a little wide shot so those online can actually see what that's like. But no, actually, all right, we'll figure it. Wow, isn't that cool? Okay. But that is so often how God works, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He meets us in those places of desperation.
That's right. Yeah. Can I relate one more thing that happened to me when I was a...
You're cutting into my preaching time.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so...
Okay.
All right, you make it fast, buddy. All right, here we go.
I'll make it short.
Okay.
When we were at New Tribes in Sanford, Florida, one of our missionaries was having a yard sale to sell his belongings so he could go on the mission field. Well, he had this old, ugly-looking green sofa, or not sofa, recliner. And he wanted $15 for it. Well, I really didn't need it, but I thought I'd help him out a little bit. So I gave him a $20 bill. And he said, "Do you want change?" And I said, "No, this is what I actually said. The Lord will provide." Well, one of my jobs at New Drives was tending the swimming pool, and I went out one day, and here's this green leaf laying on the bottom of the pool. Well, I went and got the net, picked it up, and it was a $20 bill.
Yep. God has a way, doesn't he?
He does.
He does.
Even I wish I'd asked for $1,000 or give him $1,000.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Can you give Bob a hand? But isn't that Bob's story is like so many of ours, where God meets us through those unexpected circumstances, things that we can't explain, and those moments where we find ourselves at the end of our rope. But as we take a look at John 15, I want to remember that and celebrate that. And then also remember that it's not just about that one big conversion moment that happened 20 years ago, 30 years ago, for some, you know, 5 years ago or 5 weeks ago. That our connection with Christ is also the most life-sustaining thing we can do. Nothing is more life-sustaining than connection with Jesus. Now, let's read back through John chapter 15, verses 7 and 8. This is a promise from our Savior. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. Say that with me. Fruit. Fruit. Showing yourselves to be my disciples. I was thinking this week about the things, you know, when you read this, like the little surveys or the articles, the things that people are looking for most in life. And you can probably guess some of the top five items. And yes, money is in there. But also in every list in the top five, you'll see, you know, the closest relationships, love. You, for a sense of well-being and happiness or joy. Or from a freedom from worry, peace. When Jesus says, you will bear much fruit, I'm reminded of how when Paul describes this in the book of Galatians. Hopefully, these are very familiar words as well. Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. Let's say these ones together because these are good words to memorize. These are good words to hang on to. These are words that remind us of what happens in our lives as we stay connected to Jesus. But the fruit of the Spirit is, say it with me, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. One more time. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, oh, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Thanks for having forbearance and patience with me. But the things that we long for most in life are found in Jesus. Are found in Jesus. There is nothing more life-changing than connection with Jesus. There is nothing more life-sustaining than connection with Jesus. Connection is life. And disconnection is death. How's your connection with Jesus right now? Now, I realize this is a simple message, and for some of you, you're like, I have heard this before. Good. Good. We need to hear this again. Because let me see your eyes, okay? Guys, we are in a tough time. And there's some parts that are getting harder. One of the weird things about coming back from vacation, which thanks for all the well wishes, and we had a great time. You know, got to see extended family, got to travel, got to do some hiking, got to get away. And so one of the things, at least for me, is I got all the way off social media for more than 2 weeks. Yeah, it's incredible. You know, off of email, off of all of the regular stuff. And you know how you're when you ever like you have a great vacation and you're like, I feel awesome. And then you come back. And I remember last Wednesday, you know, okay, I've been off social media for a couple of weeks. So you click the little F button, little F icon, and you read for the first time, and it just felt like a fire hose. Or, you know, how it feels, you know, earlier in the summer when you're in an air-conditioned building, you're like, I'm feeling pretty good, but it's in the middle of a heat wave. And then you step outside and it's 115 degrees outside and it takes about 30 seconds for you to realize, okay, this is serious. And that's what it felt like for me. And I'm imagining that you're feeling some of the same thing. You start to, I mean, I've got lots and lots of friends on social media, and you start realizing, wow, there's a world of hurt right now. There's a world of fear right now. There's a world of division right now. There's a lot of people that I love dearly that are very anxious and sometimes very angry, sometimes right at each other. This is a hard season. It's a hard season. And I know this sounds like a simple message, but you know, friends, if we're going to make it through this, if you're going to make it through this spiritually and emotionally intact, connection is life. And I've said this before, but I'm experiencing it. I'm living it daily. Your time with the Lord, your prayer life, your the ability to find rest, your time in the Word, your time with other close Christian friends. For many of us, this will be the difference between this next season of life, just like the season we have been through, feeling like we're in a tailspin or feeling like we're okay. Because the fruit of the Spirit that you are looking for, the love, the joy, the peace that you are craving, and the people around you are craving, has a source. And that source is? God. Exactly. If you remain in me, Jesus says to his disciples, to all who will hear him, if you remain in me, I will remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. You feel like this today? Do you know anybody who feels like this today? Our time with the Lord is not just an add-on to the day. It's not just something to kind of get your head together as you're shooting out the door. Your time with the Lord, my time with the Lord, is life. Is life. And I do want to challenge you, just as I need to hear this message too, is that sometimes connecting with Jesus requires us to disconnect from other things. One of the challenges that we live in is because we are in such an information inundated world. I mean, we are able to access more information about what's happening in the world around us, and there are so many serious things on so many fronts all the time that we can just be swimming in this. So whether that's having cable news on in the house all the time, or you're on social media frequently, or whatever it is, it's coming at us constantly, isn't it? And we weren't designed for that. We weren't designed for that. It's literally more than we can handle. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be informed. I'm not saying you shouldn't watch TV. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be on social media. There's good things in all of those environments. But what I am saying is that sometimes connecting with Jesus, that primary connection, requires disconnecting from other things. As you listen to the voice and for the voice of the Holy Spirit this morning, is God challenging you to disconnect from other things, whether for a moment, whether for a season, or maybe just to find some appropriate boundaries on these things? If the notifications, all the notifications are on all your on your phone all the time, I can tell you something about what your emotional life is like, because you are getting constantly interrupted. If you're spending more time scrolling than you are praying, I can tell you what your emotional life is going to be like. Sometimes connecting with Jesus requires disconnecting from other things. Because if you're not allowing Jesus to fill you up in your inner world, in my inner world, you're not going to have very much to give. And God wants us to bear fruit for His glory and for the world's benefit. There are people around you. You see them all the time. And if you're wondering about whether or not, you know, anybody, just look around you even right now. Everyone is experiencing some of these same fears. Everyone feels a little bit overwhelmed. Everyone feels a little bit anxious. And so all of us need Jesus. I was about to say more than ever, except for we need Him. We need Him all the time. He's mission critical in every moment, but we are more aware of it right now than perhaps in other seasons of life, because the stakes are so high. So how's your connection with the Lord today? I got to share one, here's a piece of good news. See, because if you're feeling like this, and there's days I'm feeling like this, and I'm grateful that Jesus gave us this illustration of the vine, but there's a very key way that you are different than a grapevine. That for you and for me, connection can be restored. And so when it feels like you're empty, when it feels like you're at the end of your rope, when you feel like, just like Bob shared, you know, you're like, I've been working 24/7, I'm exhausted, I can't do this on my own, connection can be restored. Jesus, I'm scared, I'm anxious, I'm uncertain, things feel crazy, it feels like the world is falling apart, fill me with your peace. Connection can be restored. We serve a God who loves us, who loves you. I hope you're hearing this. That loves you desperately, more than you can imagine. That's why he sent his son to die on the cross for you and for me and for us, because he wants the connection to be restored. So I want to give us a chance to do that. And now the ultimate connection that we're looking for isn't the connection of, you know, one moment or of one brief prayer. It's the ongoing connection with Jesus. But you know what? That ongoing connection can be reestablished in a moment. And so I want to give us a chance to do that. Would you bow your heads with me? And even if you're watching online right now, would you bow your heads and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you? Are you feeling distant from God? Are you nervous? Are you anxious? Are you overwhelmed? Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." If you're feeling disconnected from God today, I just invite you under your breath or out loud or whatever, just to say, "Jesus, I'm coming back. Jesus, I'm coming back. Jesus, I'm coming back." Lay your fears before him. Ask him for help. "Jesus, I'm coming back. Jesus, I'm coming back. Jesus, I want to reconnect with you today." If that's you online, maybe even just put the phrase right now, and one of our online hosts would love to just celebrate that or interact with you. Just post the word "reconnecting." Reconnecting. "I am reconnecting. I'm reconnecting with you, Jesus." And if you're here in the room and you allow me the privilege of just, I'm not going to put anybody on the spot, but just to praying for you today. If that's the cry of your heart, I feel like I've been disconnected and I want to reconnect with Jesus today. I want to reconnect with him. Can we just make eye contact for a moment? Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep, yep, I see you, I see you, I see you, I see you. Let's pray together out loud. Jesus, you are the vine. I am a branch. You gave your life for me, and you give me life today. I'm sorry that I disconnect, that I get distracted, that I wander away. But thank you that you take me back. You forgive me of my sin, and you fill me with your life. May your love, may your joy, and may your peace fill me today by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand together as we respond in song as well. We remember how good God is. And I pray these words we can just soak our souls in these truths. We serve a God who is a good Father, that we are loved by Him. We should be raising the roof with our singing today, guys. We have got to remember who God is. We have got to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with His peace and His joy. And I pray that we would do that as we remember Him today. Let's worship and sing together.